Welcome back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. I am joined today by my dear friend, Michael Mack. Michael, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Jason. Always good to be one of your dear friends.
You are my dear friend and a frequent guest on this show. This is probably your fourth time, maybe?
I think
in
so.
3 years coming on?
Do you ever have strangers on this show?
No. I learned a long time ago that I should probably try to interview people that I know something about, because I generally am unprepared with notes or any other information. And if I just go in cold and I don't know the person I'm talking to, it's kind of a disaster.
Lots of silence that way.
Lots of awkward silences.
And also, may I suggest for a future program, you have another interviewer for your interviewee, like Doug Fabrizio. I think that'd be fun.
Doug and I could team up.
Which of you could get a word in, you know, ahead of the other one.
Yeah. Okay. We'll have a host off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that would be good.
Be fun to see.
It'd be fun to see.
Or hear, as the case may be.
Thank you for that radio notation. Michael, thank you for joining us yet again. You are the Director of Services.
Well,
right?
No, I've been
the
promoted,
Vice President.
Jason.
I'm sorry, the Vice President of Services.
It's only been about 10 years, so I know it's kind of hard to stick.
The Vice President of Services for Visit Salt Lake, our wonderful Convention and Visitors Bureau. We're talking today about your efforts to welcome many groups, but in particular Sundance, which actually has a large presence in Salt Lake City. They're not just in Park City. They're
That's
also
right.
in Salt Lake City. You guys have in many ways taken the lead in trying to create a Sundance-esque experience for downtown. Please share with the listeners, Michael, what you are doing to help people enjoy the many benefits of being a host city for the Sundance Film Festival.
I would be so happy to, Jason. And I'm not sure if legally, technically, we're known as a host city, but we are a provider for the Sundance Film Festival.
So there are movies that are in Salt Lake City for Sundance.
That's true.
In my mind, that makes us a host city.
Well, me too. And actually, we have almost as many, if not more, than Park City.
Wow.
I think we can overtake them soon. Let's do it.
All right.
So for the past, I think this is the 11th year, we have been creating an event and sponsoring an event to give some sort of energy to people being in our city for the film festival. And that has taken the form of a film festival music cafe. And we staff it every night with local, not just local, actually, traveling music as well, musicians. Yeah.
And so let's just take a step back. What are the dates? When is Sundance is right around the corner.
It starts this Friday in Salt Lake. It starts Thursday in Park City.
Wow. Okay. So it starts tonight.
Tonight, yes, tonight. Tonight.
And
tomorrow, the 20th of January, Time Warp.
Yeah.
It's the opening film in Salt Lake City, which they always do at the Rose Wagner, but there will be other screenings at all the venues beginning tomorrow in Salt Lake.
Okay. And can you remind people of the venues?
Yes. The venues for the films are the Tower Theater,
okay,
the Grand Hall at Salt Lake Community College on State Street.
Both of those are out of downtown, but
that's
that
true.
Shouldn't
Sorry.
Prevent you from seeing a movie there if
no,
you really want to.
Because there's a lot of seats at that Grand Hall.
There are.
And then also at the Rose Wagner, which is a really nice place to see a film.
And downtown.
And several venues at the Broadway Theater, which is also downtown.
One of our favorite downtown art movie houses.
Have we said downtown? It's downtown.
Well, I like to underscore that point for
And
obvious
the
reasons.
Festival Cafe also finds itself downtown.
Wow.
Yeah. It's at Cecilia Pizza Kitchen.
Okay. Where is that located?
That's on Broadway, just across, kind of in between the two sets of theaters that are on Broadway. It's at 35 West, 300 South.
Okay. What will people expect if people come in? To do you have to have a ticket? Is this one of those fancy InStyle magazine parties that you get a $500 gift basket when you arrive?
Elle McPherson is usually there. She's not going to be able to be there this year. But so it's just going to be the regular staff at the pizza place and also the musicians, which we have each and every night beginning tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
And through the following Sunday.
Okay. Is that so? Let's talk about who these musicians are. These famed local and traveling musicians.
Well, some I think people will know of, like the Red Rock Hot Club.
Yeah, they have performed almost every year at our farmers market party.
Yeah,
to launch the farmers market.
They're great.
Yeah,
a new band that I found through friends, young friends at work, called Pixie and the Party Boys, and they're kind of a fun bluegrass. And if go to their website, Pixie and the Party Boys, whatever.
Search
.com,
it. Probably.
And, .com, and check it out. There's a returning gypsy trip-hop violinist named Katya Murafa.
Nice.
She works downtown.
Thank you.
At the Starbucks.
Any downtown references you can make on the show are always welcome.
Of course.
Yeah.
And then one group that the venue at Cecilia Pizza has requested we get every year because they are so fun and they have a great following, called Wanagani. And they are world acoustic punk.
Hmm.
Yeah. They're on Saturday night.
Do you try to have theme nights? Like, is you know, if there's a special movie showing, do you try to have some? I don't know. Yeah. That's a possibility.
I don't even know what those films are. I read them and go, what is this, a polka movie?
Okay.
If it jumped out like that, I probably would.
You try and
have, or if
a
it was
polka.
A biopic on Bob Marley, I'm sure I would have reggae music.
Right,
but
right.
No, I don't try to tie it to the films at all because there's
so many films.
Hundreds of films.
Yeah, there's so many films to choose from.
So basically, I just get who I can. People who are interested, people who have a good following. And in fact, there is on the very final night on January 28th, which is Saturday. I think I said it went through Sunday, but it ends on Saturday for us. A duo called Witherward. And I think they're out of Arizona, but they now are based in Nashville.
Hmm.
And they come up to Sundance every year, and they play in Park City, but they always want to be in our cafe as well.
Well, not surprisingly. Why wouldn't they want to be in your cafe?
Of course they should. I have no reason not to.
Okay, so Sundance Cafe is going on. We have also, we actually had a complaint about this at the Downtown Alliance that I was happy to shoulder. Sometimes we get complaints. Someone tweeted at us, upset that we had left the holiday lights on. And I said, well, we like to leave them on to welcome our guests for Sundance and also the Outdoor Retailer Show, to say downtown is festive and fun. It doesn't just end at the holidays.
Right.
The lights continue on. So,
and wintertime's kind of dark anyway, so why not?
It's a little depressing.
Keep it cheery and festive.
Yeah, so Main Street still looks fantastic. Third South looks great.
Yes.
So we try to, through these major events that happen in January, we try to keep the lights on and make sure people know we're still open for business and it's still a great time to come to downtown Salt Lake City.
It's a good hospitality gesture to keep the lights on.
It is. Michael, so let me ask you this. Most of what, a lot of what Visit Salt Lake does.
We're often confused with those two people.
Well, I've worked for both organizations,
right.
So it's hard for me to keep them straight.
I know.
A lot of what you do is trying to get conventions to come to town. That's a big chunk of your marketing budget and where you spend your resources and time and energy, and then providing help to those conventions. How is Sundance different than a typical convention that your group might go after to recruit for downtown?
Well, Sundance is a lot like our other events that we, I mean, in terms of that we want them to be events and strong calendar of events items. For example, the Twilight Concert Series or the Farmers Market. We want local events that outsiders can also enjoy. It just gives people a sense of place, I think. It just is more to offer from the city. And it's not always the same, obviously, through the calendar, but just to have activities going on really helps sell the message that Salt Lake is a fun city.
Fun and vibrant.
Especially downtown.
Thank you. Thanks again for underscoring that point. Okay, but so you don't, so Sundance isn't, you don't think of Sundance in the same way that you might think of the National Association of Librarians or some other group like that.
It would be kind of like the Indianapolis 500 or the Kentucky Derby or something like that, South by Southwest, we wish. But something like that that's on the calendar that draws attention to an area, to our area, and brings out-of-towners in, but it's also for locals as well.
Right. Right. So this is the 11th year that you've done this.
Yes, and I want to, let me clarify one thing, because you asked me and I don't think we closed the loop. To go to the Sundance Festival Cafe, you don't need a movie ticket. You don't need a Sundance credential. You might be downtown because you're going to a film or something, but everyone's welcome to come in.
And what are you serving, hors d'oeuvres or cake?
I'm not serving anything. They have pizza. They have really good Italian food. They have a full bar.
Great.
None of it's free. You have to pay for it.
Okay.
And the music's...
Thanks for underscoring that.
Yes.
Just in case
don't come in and
worried.
Ask for your free slice of pizza because there won't be one. You'll be disappointed. And the music every night, we better cover that time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Starts every night at 8:30 and goes for at least till 10:30, except for Sunday, the 22nd, starts at 6:30.
A little earlier on Sunday.
But otherwise, actually, the pizza place is open till 2 or 3 every night.
Wow.
2 or 3 a.m.
I have been to this pizza place because it's downtown, but I have never been there at 2 or 3 a.m.
I'm glad to hear that, Jason.
I might try to check that out just to see what the vibe is like.
Yeah, I don't think it's any colder at 3 a.m. than it is at 8:30 p.m.
Probably about the same. Yeah. All right. Please, listeners, if you are so inclined to have a little taste of delicious pizza and Sundance at the same time, listen to some very cool music curated and selected by Michael Mack, a downtown's resident provocateur. please plan to attend the Sundance Cafe. I also, Michael, wanted to chat with you about some other big events that Visit Salt Lake has helped to bring here recently. We are out of time for this segment, though, so we will be back after these messages. We are back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance, joined today by my friend, Michael Mack. Michael is the Vice President of Convention Services, just services generally, right?
Services,
Not just convention.
All
tourism
services. Any kind. Visitor, tourism.
Any kind of service.
We don't do any mechanical work, but other than that, we try to handle it.
Okay. Vice President of Services for Visit Salt Lake, the Convention and Visitors Bureau that promotes all of Salt Lake County, but especially downtown.
Especially. Jason, you forgot to introduce me as your mentor also.
I've moved past that.
Okay.
When I was 27 and I knew you and you were 40, you were my mentor. And now
I'm 52.
Right. Yep. And so we spent a lot of time talking about Sundance, the first segment, and the Sundance Cafe that Visit Salt Lake is offering for folks. You also just wrapped up the Outdoor Retailer Trade Show, and I actually spoke at a lunch on Tuesday to some commercial real estate investors, and they had questions about Outdoor Retailer. Is Outdoor Retailer staying? Is Outdoor Retailer going? And you don't necessarily need to answer those, but I thought it might be helpful to give people a little bit of context about who the show is, what they do for our community, how successful this last winter show was. You know, what's important for the people of Salt Lake City to know about the Outdoor Retailer, the famed
Absolutely.
Outdoor Retailer Trade Show?
Who's been in our city now going on 21 years.
Wow.
This was their, well, not counting the Winter Olympics because they had to move to Anaheim that winter, but this is their 40th show in the city.
That's
so they
kind
come
of
twice each year. Yes.
Yeah.
I'll just start out by saying they love us. They love Salt Lake. They really want to be here. We have made great strides in trying to accommodate them and keep them here with hotel growth, improved service, with expanded restaurants, better new restaurants, et cetera. So they really like our venue. And the thing they most like is they feel very welcome here. And they know that everyone around here, especially downtown, knows that they are here.
Yeah.
And it's a very welcoming group.
Well, they're famous. I mean, they've been coming for so long. And they're such a large group and have such big economic impact for our community. People really do get it, and they appreciate them, and they're happy that they come twice a year.
Yeah, and you know, think about that though. 20 years is—it's more than a tradition now. I mean, it's an institution. They will continue, in my view, to keep coming here. They have other shows they want to try to bring here as well, as long as we can keep working with them and adjusting with them. But they are very important to our economy. They just the two shows, the winter and summer market shows, bring $50 million each year in direct visitor spending. So that's probably 20 to 30% of our convention income, not income, but our impact from conventions.
Just from those two
just
shows.
Just from those two.
And they come back. I think that's the other reason that people are aware of them is they come back twice a year, every year.
Right.
If you had, you know, a major show that came once every 6 years or once every 10 years, it might have a big impact, but you'd only see them on occasion, so you wouldn't be as familiar with them.
Right. It's kind of like when the Locusts come out every 7 years. You remember them and then you forget them.
Are they Locusts? They're
Cicadas.
Cicadas, thank you. Yeah.
Colloquially, we called them Locusts.
Okay. Okay, so Outdoor Retailer just wrapped up a successful show. Some rumblings about concerns on a state level about some of the outdoor policies that state leaders may have. I heard Spencer Cox, our lieutenant governor, talking about this, saying he didn't feel like maybe the state was as far apart on this issue as maybe some of the outdoor enthusiasts. But clearly, they have some SWAT, and people are paying attention to what they say.
Definitely.
And people want to keep them here.
And they, in past comments, have urged and moved our reluctant, I guess, leaders sometimes to move a little more toward their viewpoint, theirs being the outdoor industry viewpoint.
Right.
And I think it's important to keep that pressure on, keep their feet to the fire, because it's worth more money economically. The outdoor industry and tourism industry is more valuable than any other, you know, big industry in Utah, like mining or coal or even automobile sales.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
How much does the tourism industry, how much does tourism create?
Jillions.
A lot of money. Okay.
It's huge.
It's huge. Outdoor retailer, very happy. Great winter show. Was this a record year or?
I haven't heard the final numbers yet, but this is the first year in history that they've turned it to a three-day show. So they had their on snow demo day and then 3 days of exhibitors.
And in the past, it's only been two?
No, it's been four.
Oh, okay.
So they cut 1 day back. That won't happen in the summer. Summer will be a four-day show with their product demo day in addition. But I think they were happy with their numbers. I have not heard final count, but we think it was probably between 22 and 24,000 people. So no real drop from attendance, just one less day of people staying.
This is something I mentioned to this commercial real estate group I talked to. When outdoor retailers in our downtown feels very different. It's vibrant. People are out on the streets constantly, even into the wee hours of the night. Hotel rooms are full. Restaurants are full. Retail does really well. Some of the safety concerns people may have seem to evaporate because there's just so many people out.
Right. They're out of numbers.
And it gives me a lot of hope about sort of the direction that we're going with residential development downtown. You think if we had an extra 10, 15, 20, 25,000 people living downtown all the time, how our downtown would feel, and it would be very different than it is on a day-to-day basis, but it'd feel very much like it is when outdoor retailer. And it's helpful that many of those folks are on an expense account, they're traveling, and so maybe spending a little more money. But it does give you a sense of sort of vitality of an urban center when it's fully occupied.
I think that's a great observation. And when people are moving around in large groups, I think it helps with confrontation situations where if it's just a couple of people, they might feel a little more harassed,
intimidated. Yeah, intimidated. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. What else is Visit Salt Lake working on? You guys have always got a lot of big projects coming up.
Well, we're bidding on some very exciting things, but I don't really want to get into that. But we have some very potentially large fame getting kind of groups that we're going after. And we'll know more later in the year as we move into the selection process. But meanwhile, we have a very strong convention calendar this year. The next big one that's coming, and we're expecting about 40,000 people, although many will be locals, is the Western Hunting Conservation Expo, which is about the third week in February.
Okay.
And that fills the Salt Palace. A lot of money gets spent with that group. It's kind of well-heeled hunters and outdoors people.
I mean, similar in some respects to the Outdoor Industry Association. They're more hikers and backpackers, not as much guns per se. But
this is more of a hook and bullet show.
Yeah, but also people who value having outdoor recreation, who really appreciate the wilderness, who want to have some pristine areas for hunting and enjoying the outdoors.
Definitely.
I wanted to talk a little bit about ASAE. You hosted ASAE earlier this year.
That was actually last year.
In 2016, but within the last 6 months, let's say. The Association, American Society of Association Executives.
That's
Did
it.
Did I get that correct?
Yes. So it's the Association of Associations. And there are thousands of associations.
And the reason this was important is because these are the people who decide where their annual convention goes for their association. So really it was potentially thousands of potential customers for Salt Lake's convention industry.
Right. We got to host them all. They had many of them, probably the 80%, 70% of them, had never been here before for a meeting. They were here for their meeting, and now they get to decide, did Salt Lake do a good job? Can I take my meeting there? And I think we're going to see great results from that. Historically, they said 20% in the next 2 years of attendees book a meeting in that host city. So we're hoping to reap some benefit from that. But Salt Lake community, hospitality community, and all of our many partners did a great job hosting that convention, including especially the Downtown Alliance.
Especially the Downtown Alliance. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
We had a lot of volunteers. Kristen Beck went above and beyond, I think. She was one of your prime outstanding volunteers, our director of urban activation. As we wrap up, in addition to your roles with your sort of formal and official roles with Visit Salt Lake, you also are a keen observer of our restaurant and nightlife and music scene. What do you think is happening to our downtown in terms of all those industries?
I think it's thrilling what's happening.
Okay.
A few of us down in at the Convention Bureau took our own self-guided tour of some districts in downtown, actually, mostly along Main Street, a little bit on Second South, to check out new or newer restaurants and bars, et cetera. And I think some of the people came away very surprised, didn't know all those places were tucked in there.
And people thinking, on your staff who been on, not...
Yeah, not my staff per se, but on the sales team staff. And they, we got them out into some of the places they don't normally take clients, but there are some really amazing venues. And it's just great to be able to say, just anywhere you go, pretty much, go down Main Street or go down 3rd South, there's going to be all kinds of activities that you never would have expected.
What is what's your favorite restaurant right now? Downtown. Let me clarify.
Yeah. Oh, so 9th South doesn't count?
Slight. It's just a little bit. I love 9th South.
I love the new Central 9th, and I love the new restaurants, Manoli's and Veneto on 9th South, a little
bit
further
east.
Nice. Downtown, I think, you know, Martine always comes through.
I love Martine. I'm happy you said that.
And I think, you know, Valters is awesome. There's a bunch of good ones, but Martine constantly surprises.
Yeah. I think that's true. In a good way.
In a great way.
Like you just go back and it's consistent.
Yes. And it's always something new and wonderful.
Yeah. That's great. Michael, thanks so much for being our guest. Thanks for your work to help make downtown Salt Lake City's economy successful. You and your colleague, Scott Beck, president and CEO of Visit Salt Lake, and a friend of this program and a friend of the Downtown Alliance, and all the folks that you work with really work hard to make our community shine on a national and even international level. And you help to create thousands of jobs for people who work in our hotel and restaurant and retail industries.
Good, clean jobs.
Yeah, they are. And so thanks for all of your hard work in making downtown just a little bit better.
My pleasure. It's my downtown, too, and I love it.
Excellent. You can come back, I guess.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. You can join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. where we explore the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center.